Good morning, Parshas Vayetzes. We've seen in the last couple of weeks that sometimes even one letter, a Vav, can teach us the limit for life. I think we saw in Parshas Chayitzar, the Vav of Ulai, one extra Vav. We saw in Parshas Toldos, the Vav of Vayitein Lecha. Every pasuk, every word, every letter in the Torah Kedoshah is there to teach us a lesson. And today we're going to look, Be'ezat Hashem Yisbarach, at even less than a letter. It's not going to be a pasuk, it's not going to be a word, it's not going to be a letter. It's going to be the gaps in between the words. The gaps in between the words of the Torah Kedoshah, even those are there to You may well know, if ever you look at a Sefer Torah, so obviously the words don't just run into each other, there's a gap in between each word. But every so often there's a larger gap. And the line sometimes ends in the middle, and there's no more words on that line at all, and the Sefer Torah then re-begins on the next line. Sometimes there is a wider gap, the writing does begin on that line, but there's an enormous gap. And those different types of gaps are called Ptuchos and Stumos. Ptuchos is obviously open gaps, Stumos is closed gaps. That's not our subject today, but that's the way, if you look at any Omer in the Sefer Torah, you will always see from time to time Ptuchos and Stumos, there are these gaps, except for Parshas. Parshas Vayetze is a Parshas Stumo. The words just continue one after another, again and again. Word after word, posuk after posuk, parsha after parsha, and there are no gaps in parshas. So this is what we would like Be'ezus Hashem Yisbarach to discuss today. It's not the words, it's not the letters, it's the gaps or the lack of. Why are there no gaps in parshas Vayei? That is the question, and this is the question that's discussed by the Mirei Rosh Hashiva, Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, Zecher Tzadik V'Kodesh. Reb Chaim explains, we've all heard of the story in the Gemara of Nochum Ish Gamzu. Why was he called Nochum Ish Gamzu? So the Gemara tells us because whenever something happened to him, even if it looked on the surface it was something bad, he always used to say three words, Gamzu L'Teva. Gamzu L'Teva, this is for good as well. And the Gemara recounts the story. The Gemara says that on one occasion, Klal Yisrael wanted to send a gift to the Melech. They chose Nochum Ish Gamzu to be the shliach, and what do they send the melech? A huge casket of avonim tovois, zov, kesef, and achoshet. Nochum Ish Gamzu was unaware, however, that on his way to the king, he stops off overnight. We all know the story. The goyim came along, they take out all the treasures, and what do they put in? Offer, earth. He is blissfully unaware. He arrives at the king, and he says, here's a gift, I'm in a shliach on behalf of Klal Yisrael. They open up the box, and it's earth. And the king is so enraged, he wants to kill him on the spot, and Nochum Ish Gamzu simply says, as he always did, Gamzu, how can this possibly be L'Toiva? He's just been sentenced to death, but all of a sudden, Eliyahu HaNavi appears, and he says to the Melech, don't forget that this nation are the descendants of Avraham Avinu. This is not just ordinary earth, this is extra special earth. If you take clumps of this earth, and you throw it at the enemy, what will happen? It will be converted into arrows. You have a master weapon in your arsenal now. Couldn't believe it. Indeed, a tremendous gift. Imagine you go to battle, and all you need is a few pieces of earth to launch at the enemy, and it's immediately converted into missiles. Indeed, it was Gamzu. The question that's so obvious is, if Nochum Ish Gamzu always used to say Gamzu L'Toiva, then why do we call him Nochum Ish Gamzu? We missed out the main word. We should call him Nochum Ish Gamzu L'Toiva, or at least just say Nochum Ish L'Toiva. The main word was L'Toiva. His whole outlook on life was L'Toiva. Everything is for good. Everything is for good. It wasn't just his outlook, it was his Talmud as well. Who is his Talmud? Rabbi Akiva. What was Rabbi Akiva's famous mantra? Kol man da ovid rachmona letav ovid. Whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is letav, is letoiva. Once again, the Gemara in Brochot tells us the famous story that he tried to get into a town. Nobody would host him. He has to stay outside. What does he have with him? His candle, has his donkey, has his chicken. The candle blows out in the wind. The chicken gets consumed, the donkey gets consumed, and what does he say? It's all a toy. How can it be a toy? You have nowhere to stay overnight. You have no candle to learn, you've got no chicken, you've got no donkey, and we all know the story. All of a sudden, Listim, Zuyim, armed bandits, come to besiege this town, and he suddenly realizes, had I been in there, then I would have been the victim as well. Had I had the candle, then they would have seen me. Had I had the chicken or the donkey, it would have made a noise, they would have detected me. So I was right. Kol man de obid rachmona. Everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is letav obid. So this was the teaching of the great Rebbe Nochum Ish Gamzu. It's been transmitted now to the next doyer, his Talmud Rebbe Kiva. But why are we calling him Nochum Ish Gamzu? Call him Nochum Letoiva. Or at least Nochum Ish Gamzu Letoiva. What are we going to say? It's too long a name? Nochum Ish Gamzu is also pretty long. So why have we missed out? This is a question also posed by Rav Chaim Shmulevitz Zecher Tzadik. And Rav Chaim Shmulevitz says the following Yisoid, and it's Yisoid we all know. The question is whether we feel it, and more importantly, whether we live it. Says Rav Chaim, a person on occasion undergoes a difficult period of life, and Yisoid, do you remember a few weeks ago we discussed when a person undergoes Nisyoinos, what type of questions are we allowed to ask? Do we ask Madua? Do we ask Lomo? But either way, it's a difficult situation. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want? Why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing this? But we all know the Moshul Chaim, all Moshul. The beauty of the Chafetz Chaim's Mashalim, where they were so beautiful, it could be we shared this together then, about the person who comes into shul as a guest. Did we discuss this? The guest comes into shul and he complains to the Gabbai at the end of davening. He says, I'm sorry, I'm just a visitor. I've never seen a shul run in this fashion. And you know how to run a shul. What's wrong with the way I run a shul? He said, I'm sorry, but I couldn't help noticing that you only gave aliyahs to the Torah on those people sitting on the left-hand side of the shul. It's absurd. If you sit on the left-hand side of the shul, you're more choshev. You're more deserving of an aliyah. Those people on the right-hand side, what, they don't deserve an aliyah? Why would you only give aliyah to those people on the left-hand side of the shul? Says the Gabbai, my dear friend, it's a wonderful question, but you weren't here last week. Last week we gave aliyahs to all the people on the right-hand side. That was you. When we have big questions, sometimes questions kaviyachal on the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, the problem that we have is we're only seeing one tiny, small piece in a colossal puzzle. It's called, if you come in one Shabbos morning and you see that people get aliyahs only if they sit on the left-hand side of the shul, then of course you're faced with unanswerable questions. But if you only hear the week before and the next week and you see the whole picture complete, then you'll realize that you cannot look at any individual Shabbos in isolation, because then indeed it's impossible to understand. So Reb Chaim says, "Amuir deki yisoid, nochum ish gamzu." It's true. His yisoid, his outlook, his hashkafa in life is everything l'toiva. But how did he get to it? What was the basis for his hashkafa? And do you know what the basis for his hashkafa was? He realized that everything that happens to him is gamzu. It's also, it's another piece in the puzzle. It's not an isolated event which has no connection to that that preceded it and that follows it. No, it's gamzu. Gam means also, in addition to. That's how he got to the Toiva. So that's why we call him Nochum Ish Gamzu. We are, haven't we missed out the main word? No, the main word's a gamzu. To understand that everything that happens to us, every experience that we undergo is gamzu. It's an addition to. It's part of an enormous picture of our life and the lives of our families and our communities and the lives of Klal Yisrael and of civilization and of all of Bria. Mitchilas Sheshes Me'abreshes Atzoyf Kol Oilom. And what are we privy to? One tiny little piece in that colossal puzzle. Gamzu. Nochum Ish Gamzu. That was his main yesoid. Gamzu. Do you know how I realize? Do you know how I'm able to arrive at this appreciation? Everything is a Toiva. Because I realize it's Gamzu. It's not an isolate. It's not freestanding. Rather, it's Gamzu. One of the most poignant, difficult tefillahs that we have to say the whole year, on the holiest day of the year, Yom HaKippurim, Yom HaGodol, HaKodesh, VaHaNeiro, and we talk about the Asara Harugi Malchus, one of the most painful chapters in our history, when great Tanoim, Kamalochim, were brutally killed in the hands of the Goyim, and surely then were a big question. How can it be? Gedoy Le'olam, describe them on Tisha B'Av, also in the Kinnas, as Arze halavonin, what's an erez? It's a cedar tree, an enormous tree, colossal in height. We have no perception, no hasoga, no way of fathoming their greatness. And here they were, just killed in such a torturous fashion by the goyim. Do you know who asked the question? The Malach Yashoyim. The Malachim came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and they said, Zu Torah v'zu Schara. This is Torah, this is the reward for learning Torah. Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, who's, we don't even want to go into the details of his death, it was so savage, but Chazal tell us that in some b'chinois he was greater than Moshe Rabbeinu even. Zu Torah v'zu Schara. So what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu respond? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Shtik. Because if not, Ani achzir et ha'oilom, I will return the world to Tohu Bavoyu. Tohu Bavoyu. What is Tohu Bavoyu? Of course, this reminds us of the opening words in the Torah. V'horet chisos Tohu Bavoyu, just darkness and mist. That's it. That will be the end of the Medrash. Tefillah, based on a Medrash. How did HaKadosh Baruch Hu answer the question? They asked a very valid question. And they said, Zu Torah v'zu Schara, Zu Schara. It can't be, it doesn't make sense. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, no question, shtoik. Because if not, it could be we mentioned this then as well, but it's worth repeating. Did we talk about the moshel of Reb Shlomo Kluger? Reb Shlomo Kluger, one of the G'dayli Achreinim 250 years ago, wrote tens of Sfarim. He says the most remarkable moshel, explain this medrash, remarkable. And he says, moshel l'moa dover doyma. He says there was a king, a very wealthy and powerful king, who decided one day that he wants to have made for him the most exquisite looking cloak. He's going to have a coat which is not just made out of regular material. It's going to be made out of fibers of gold and silver. It's going to be diamond studded. It's just going to be the most magnificent coat that any king could. He calls in the royal tailor, and he says, listen, I'd like you to produce this coat for me. Time is not of the essence, take as long as you like, but it's got to look something absolutely magnificent. Where am I going to get the materials from? Asks the tailor. The king says, no problem, the royal treasury. In this treasury, you'll find everything you need for the coat. Diamonds, jewels, sapphires, emeralds, rubies, gold, silver, and it's free service. Whatever you want and you think that needs to be invested in this coat, all you need to do is write it down on a ledger, exactly what you took, and put it in the coat. The more, the better. After a year, the tailor comes before his royal, your majesty, I have finished, and he shows him indeed a cloak which just literally takes the... And the king is so delighted, exactly what he wanted, it's even more than he imagined. He dons this royal cloak and he feels on top of the world. All of a sudden, one of the advisors whispers something. Don't think that everything from the royal treasury. You trusted him and you gave him free entry to enter the royal treasury whenever he wanted and take whatever he wanted, but I don't think it's all in his coat. I think he misappropriated. I think he's pocketed. I think some of it is actually in his own personal bank account. And he abused your trust. The king is so enraged. That's it. Achat dosoi lahomis. That's it. Death sentence from the royal treasury. No, it's not true. I've been told by my closest advisor that you abused my trust and you've stolen from the royal treasury, and that's punishable by death. And he pleads and he begs and he says, Your Royal Highness, it's not true. It's simply not true. I've written down everything as you requested. Everything that was taken from the royal treasury. It's all been accounted for and it's all in this coat. And the king says, well, the only way that you will be freed is if you prove to me that everything you took is in this. As your majesty, you can see the coat. You can't now count every single thread. It's one big coat. Well, if you don't prove it, death sentence remains. Says the tailor, fine, I only have one choice. And what is that? To strip apart the coat, thread by thread. Diamond by diamond, and I'll lay it out in front of you. You'll see thousands of threads and thousands of jewels and emeralds, and then you'll be able to count it all up. You'll see the whole thing from beginning to end, and you'll see that nothing's been taken. There's Reb Shlomo Kluger, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu told the Malachim, Shoik, remain silent, because if not, I'll turn the world into Tohu Bavohu. When did the world look like Tohu Bavohu, as we just said? Right in the beginning. In other words, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling them was,
You're looking at a particular scene in the history of the world. And therefore you can't understand. That's a valid question. It's like the guest is only entering Shabbos morning 1 week, didn't see what happened before. But if I turn the world to Tohu Vavohu, I rewind the video, and I go all the way back to the beginning of the world, and you see the entire picture, and it's all laid out in front of you, just like this tailor's coat, then, and only then, can you understand the whole. Until that happens, stand,
you don't.
On Seder night, there is one very profound, important line that we all say, we stop and we think, we should really all be asking an obvious question. Call me Shaloi Omar. What are they? Pesach, Matzah, Umoreh. Ask the Gerer Rebbe, the Chiddushi Harim, one second. The order is incorrect. Pesach, Matzah, Umoreh, that wasn't the order. What was first? First was the Matzah, Umoreh, and then came the Pesach. So the whole order is reversed, said the Chiddushi Harim. Because only after the Pesach could you really understand the matzah? And you're right, chronologically, historically, first came the matzah and the morah, and then the Pesach. But until the Pesach happened, we didn't understand the matzah or morah. Klal Yisrael have questions. Moshe Rabbeinu has questions. We discussed this as well in Parshas Noach. Lomo. Lomo hare yoyso. Lomo zesh lachtoni. Send me to Paro. The situation was supposed to improve, it only got worse. Moshe Rabbeinu comes to report to Klal Yisrael, they're about to be freed. They couldn't even listen to him. They couldn't. They had too many questions. They didn't understand the matzah. They didn't understand the moravan. After the Pesach, after the Zvina Yitzias Mitzrayim, and you look back retroactively, what do you then understand? Now the matzah made sense, and now the moroir made sense. We realize that the matzah and the moroir, gum. If you just look at the matzah and the moroir in isolation, what's the purpose? Where are we going with all of this? Why are we subjected to such torment and persecution and torture in Mitzrayim? So the Kodesh Baruch Hu, just wait till the end of the story. You cannot walk into shul one morning and complain the way the Gabbai runs the shul. You haven't seen the whole picture. Wait till the end of the story. Wait till the end of the story. After the end of the story, you'll experience Yitzias Mitzrayim. You'll experience Kriyas Yam Suf. Now I understand. Now I understand. Gamzura Toiva, the matzah. Every one of us, without exception, we govern every single day of our lives. Shaloi day nisoya, and Hakadosh Baruch Hu shouldn't test us. But the inevitability of life is that we are tested. And every person, every man and woman, every child, at various stages of their life, goes through difficulties. They are unavoidable. Some experience family difficulties. Difficulties in their marriage, difficulties in their parnasa, difficulties in their health, difficulties with their children, with ruchnias, with gashmias. We learned a few weeks ago the whole inyan of a nisoya in gidulin achar gidulin. It's in order to elevate us, not chas v'shalom to bring us down. But we ask questions, and we want to ask questions. Just gamzu. Just appreciate that this is on occasion, but not always. On occasion, we zeicha to see the end of the picture. On occasion, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends us the next day, the next week, the next month, the next year, the last few pieces in the puzzle, and now we see how it all fits. Like my cousin, Mr. Sonnenfeld, from Golders Green, London, who was visiting Eric Sestrol a few years ago. He just came for Yom Meiroim, and after Yom Kippur, the day after Yom Kippur, he had a flight back to England to celebrate Yom Tov with his family for Sukkot. And on that day that he was supposed to return, he was involved in a minor car crash. Too serious. But he was taken to a doctor just for a checkup. The doctor said, if I were you, it would be kedai to go to hospital just to have a final. Now I've got a flight in a few hours. No, it's kedai just to be safe. We don't want chas v'shalom taken. Fine, it's a big tircha, it's a big balagan. He's supposed to be traveling soon. He's taken to hospital. They do a scan. Everything's beseder gamor. Everything's 100% fine. But the doctor says to him, one moment, we were doing this. There'd be no bad effects, no damage incurred by the accident. Life said, we left to be a week, have a flight in a few hours to the UK. A flight, they said to him? Had you flown to England with a condition like this, it's unlikely that you would have arrived alive. So he was zoicha, not only to a rapport shalema, now healthy, living in London, but he was zoicha also very quickly to see how the car accident saved his life. Gam zula teva. It's true, as it happens, why, lama, madua, all types of questions that we would like to ask. We don't see the whole picture, but he was zeicha very quickly to see the whole thing. Because of the car accident, that's why he was sent to the doctor, and that's why he was sent to the hospital, and that's how they detected a hole in his heart, and that's why he had surgery, and that's why he didn't fly, which might have been, but we're not always, and that's where he's obvious. To have emuna, shleima, the kol man, the ovid rachmona, is the tav ovid, gamzu the teva. I just understand that I can't always understand. Yesterday, I live in Ramat Beit Shemesh. I went to a shiva, Rachmona Litzlan, family whose son was killed last Shabbos in Gaza. Family early, father isn't aware. And you can imagine the emotions and the feelings which are difficult to express and difficult to describe coming into a shiva like that, Rachmona Litzlan. Nobody should know of such a sorrow. But the father of this boy, Binyamin, Hashem Yimkoim Domoy, spoke with such bitochin. At the Leviah, he spoke by emuna ubitochin. We accept and we understand that we can't always understand, but we're sure that Gamzu, very, very easy to talk about it, to put it into practice. That's the true avoida. But the underlying basis for that avoida is to understand that Gamzu solves the puzzle. Sometimes there was in America a reform rabbi, I think his name was Rabbi Harold Kushner, who underwent a very serious nisayon. He had a child, he came very ill with a serious disease, and eventually the child passed. And he was challenged with the question of what we would call tzaddik v'raloi. He's a tzaddik. So why do I deserve this? And he wrote a book. I've never seen the book, but I'm sure you've all heard about it. It became a best-selling book in America. Why do bad things happen, which we call the Shailor Tzaddik v'raloi? And he feels he has to address it because he needs to deal with it himself. He wasn't interested in becoming an author, but he wanted to deal with this question. So he opens the Tanakh. Which sefer in Tanakh would you say deals entirely with this subject of Tzaddik v'raloi? Sefer Iyov. Sefer Iyov is a very difficult sefer. Iyov, we're told in the beginning of the sefer, was a tremendous tzaddik. The Gemara says that the discussion who Iyov was. Some say Iyov was Moshe Rabbeinu, say he wasn't. And all of a sudden, terrible, terrible Yisur family, not the health. And most of the Sefer, there's 42 prokim in Sefer Iyov. Most of the Sefer, 36 or 37 prokim, is a discussion between Iyov and his three friends, backwards and forwards. And the friends are trying to convince him, when he's asking this question, why is it tzaddik v'raloi? I'm a tzaddik. He knew he was a tzaddik. And there's a whole back and forth, and that's most of the Sefer, where the friends say, well, perhaps you weren't such a tzaddik. If you are in this Aveira, no, it's not true. Perhaps you weren't strong enough in this area of Avodas Hashem. I was. And what about this? And what about that? And what about this? And Iyov is unconvinced. Iyov cannot accept their argument because he knows he's a tzaddik. Towards the end of the Sefer, Perek Lamed Ches, all of a sudden, Vaya'an, now Kadosh Baruch Hu, and he says, Eifoi Hoyis, where were you? Beyosti Eretz, when I created the world. Let me show you the world. And the next two or three prokim, Kadosh Baruch Hu takes Iyov, as it were, on a guided tour of all the worlds. And he shows them the birds and the mountains and the animals, the rain, the valley, the flowers, the people, the clouds, the rainbow. What a beautiful world. This goes on for about two or three prokim. Sefer Iyov finishes, and it says in the last pasuk at the end of Iyov, Vayomos Iyov Zokim Ayomim, past the tenth anticlimax. We're waiting for the big answer. 38 prokim we waited. And all the friends are trying to answer this question. I'm a tzaddik, says Iyov. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows him the world, and Iyov is how do we answer Iyov's question? So this Rabbi Kushner writes, do you know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling him? HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling him, look what a beautiful world I've created. I only produce good things. Don't worry. Everything that happens, there must be another God where he's the God of evil. So you don't have to be upset. I only produce wonderful things. Look at the magnificent world. And indeed you're a tzaddik. And indeed I love you. And indeed I never would have inflicted Yisurin. You don't have to be upset with me. Our relationship is wonderful and intact. All these terrible things happen to you. There's a different force. There's a different God of evil. And that's how Iyov was calmed down. And that's his best-selling book in the United States of America. Why do bad things happen? So we all understand. That's Apikorosus, Kfira, Echod, Yochid, Umiyuchod. So what is it? How did HaKadosh Baruch Hu answer the Heiliger Ramban? We don't need Lahavdil Elef Alfi Avdolot, a reform rabbi, to teach us
shot in the Kriyoi when we have Rabbeinu HaRamban.
The Ramban explains that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him, Eifayar Yisrael B'yos Diyaret. Where were you when I created the world? Have you seen the whole picture? Look at the world. Look how complex it is. Look how many myriads of billions and trillions of details in every small ant and flower and tree and raindrop and animal and cloud and plant. Understand, Eo, that the world is too big for you to understand. Eifayar Yisrael B'yos Diyaret.
This is what the Ramban is teaching us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling him, look at the colossal world that I've created. Can you appreciate what goes into one cell of one limb, of one human being, of one leaf in a tree, of one raindrop, of one snowflake? It's too big. You have to see the whole picture and you cannot appreciate it. Yeah, he says, I'm now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has explained to me, I can't. Gamzu l'teiva, there's an enormous picture, Muna and Bitochek, that everything is. So let's come back now to the original question. Parashas Vayetze is exceptional, in fact, that there's no parashas, no psuchos, and stumos, there's no gap. And we promise today that we're not talking about any word or any letter, we're talking about the gaps in between the letters. So why are there no gaps in this week's parasha? Says the Mira Rosh Hashiva, because parashas Vayetze is the parasha of Golus. It's the parasha where Yaakov leaves home. Which tefillah did Yaakov Avinu compose? He composes the tefillah of Maariv. When do we daven Maariv? When it's night. Choshech, darkness. When it's light, like it is now, what do we say? Lahagid ba'boiker chasdecha. We see all the boiker, we see all the chesed. And what do we do ba'layla? Ve'emunos. When it's dark and things are difficult and we're in Golos and we're experiencing Nisyonos, ve'emunos chobaleilos. In the morning, what do we say after Shema? Emes, ve'yatsiv, ve'nochoin, ve'kaim, everything is just wonderful. But what do we say in Maariv? Emes, ve'emunokol. That's what Maariv is. That's Choshech. That's Yaakov of you. This week's parasha, Yaakov leaves home and he undergoes difficulty after difficulty after difficulty. All his money is taken away from him by Eliphaz. And then Laban tricks him with which wife? And then the Paranossa, and then he's coming back, and Esav wants to kill him. So how do we deal with the parasha of Nisyonos? How do we deal with the Golos? And the answer is, there are no gaps. You have to understand it's one long story. Gamzulatu. If there would be gaps in this parasha, what would we do? We'd stop after the event, and we would pause. 1 second, doesn't make sense. Says the Torah at Goshe, there can't be gaps. You have to see the whole picture. You cannot walk in Shabbos morning and complain to the Gabbai. Don't pause over here. Look what happened last Shabbos, look what happened next Shabbos. Don't stop at the Matzah and the Morrow. You won't understand it. You've got to wait till the end of the Pesach. The parasha of the Golos, there can't be gaps. The Torah, therefore, is teaching us not by what's written, just by the way it's written. This is how we deal with God. Keep going till the end of the story. Understand, just like Eoid had to be explained. We just understand that emuna ubitochin, emunoscho baleilois, that what? Gamzulatay. This is a gamzul. It's not a single parasha with a big pause at the end. Keep going. All the way to the end of the parasha. And there we see now. We get to the end of the story, we realize and we understand how every of the story was part, an indispensable part of the binyan of Klal Yisrael. It really was Gamzu L'Toivo. Yaakov was teaching us the middle of Emes, and Yaakov was teaching us the inyan of Limud Torah, and Yaakov was teaching us to deal with Roshoyim, etc., etc. We understand, but when do we understand? Not as it happens, because when it happens, you're not seeing the whole picture. But gamzu, gamzu l'teva. And that's the limud of this week's parasha.